Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grupo Herdez's fourth quarter and full year 2019 results conference call. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that this call is being recorded and that information discussed today may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's financial and operating performance. All projections are subject to risks and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially. Please refer to the detailed note in the company's press release regarding forward-looking statements. At this time, I would like to turn it over to Mr. Gerardo Canavati, CFO and CEO of the Frozen Division. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Savis. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on today's call. Uncertainty was a constant throughout 2019 in the international front and domestically. Unfortunately, from what we have seen so far in 2020, this year will prolong the unstable dynamics. On the domestic front, the country experienced zero growth, something we have not seen since 2009, and there was a clear downtrend throughout the year. Despite the environment, we were able to increase market shares in pasta, vegetables, ice cream, and marmalades. With that said, I will now turn the call over to Andrea to discuss 2019 results, and we will talk about our outlook for this year. We will take your questions at the end. Andrea?
Thank you, Gerardo. Greetings, everyone. Net sales increased 2.2% during the quarter and almost 7% for the full year. Growth was mainly driven by price increases over the last 12 months and, to a lesser extent, volume increases. Net sales in the preserved segment were 4.8 billion, which was slightly higher than in the fourth quarter of last year. For the full year, growth achieved a rate of 6.7%. Definitely, the quarter growth was the most affected throughout the year. Net sales in the frozen segment increased by 7.6% during the quarter and 8.2% for the full year. Nutrisa's average ticket increase was the main driver, while at Helados Nestlé, we experienced solid top-line growth in the most relevant channels, convenience and traditional. In export, net sales increased 7% in the quarter and 6% for the full year. Gross margin in the quarter was 38.3%, which is 80 basis points lower than in the fourth quarter. For the full year, the margin dropped 80 basis points to 38.5%. These declines are explained mainly by an unfavorable sales mix in preserves. In frozen, consolidated gross margin contracted by 3.6 percentage points in the quarter, mainly affected by seasonality, and increased slightly for the full year due to controls in the administrative expense. In export, the consolidated margin decreased by 2.3 percentage points in the quarter and 50 basis points for the year. SG&A in the quarter was 24.8% of net sales, resulting in an increase of 80 basis points over the same period of last year. For the full year, the SG&A represented 25% of net sales, which was nearly the same as in the previous year. The above resulted from higher distribution expenses that were offset by a decline towards the end of the year in marketing and advertising spending. EBIT for the quarter was 866 million pesos, 6.3% lower than last year, while the margin stayed at 14.5%. For the year, EBIT totaled 3 billion, while the margin declined 1 percentage point to 13.3%. EBITDA in the quarter was 1 billion, 2.1% higher than last year, and in the cumulative figure, it was 3.8 billion, 8.6% higher than in 2018. As we have mentioned, these increases are explained by the new accounting rules implemented in the year. In the fourth quarter, our stake on equity investment in associated companies was 244 million pesos, 30% higher than last year. For the full year, we recorded a drop of 15.3% as a result of extraordinary prices of avocado. Net income in the quarter was 671 million pesos, which was 11.6% lower than in the previous year. And in the cumulative figure, the drop was 8.2% to 2.2 billion. These declines are the result of lower equity investment in associated companies and higher cost of financing as a result of the adoption of IFRS 16. Our cash flow generation remains strong, allowing us to buy back shares during the year. The total buyback for the year amounted to 900 million pesos, or 5% of total outstanding. As of December 31, consolidated cash was 2.3 billion pesos, 14% higher than in 2018. Considering the new debt, interest-bearing liabilities totaled 8 billion pesos with an average life of 4.9 years and an average cost of 8.6%. Consolidated net debt to EBITDA was 1.7 times and 1.6 times excluding the effect of the IFRS 16. Net debt to consolidated stockholders' equity ratio stands at 0.36 times. So with that, I will now turn the call over to Gerardo.
Thank you, Andrea. In the frozen segment, Nutrisa was able to grow same-store sales in the mid-single-digit range, and Helados Nestlé experienced healthy top-line growth driven by portfolio shifts. We will continue working on innovations, adding very exciting new products this year at Kit Kat. As you know, last December we announced the acquisition of Cielito Querido Café, which is one of the most recognized brands in Mexico's coffee shop segment. Cielito is indicative of the Mexican culture in gastronomy and for the last 10 years has focused on reviving Mexican traditions through innovation. Additionally, we acquired the Moyo brand, a high-end frozen yogurt brand in Mexico, to strengthen our strategy in ice cream. In line with our commitment to our shareholders, we are currently assessing the feasibility of divesting from our tuna business to improve the company's portfolio. We expect consumer dynamics to improve slightly together with the economy activity. We are increasing our investment in demand creation and advertising in order to support our three main initiatives, Kit Kat ice cream sticks, the new line of McCormick Mayo, McCormick Balance, and the new image of the Herdez brand. That said, we are expecting our top line to grow mid-single digit, while our gross margin will expand slightly, and EBIT and EBITDA margins will remain stable. In Megamex, we expect sales to grow mid-single digit and EBIT at a high single digit for the fiscal year. That concludes our prepared remarks, and we would now like to open the call to your questions.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star 1 on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. Our first question comes from Alvaro Garcia with BTG. Please go ahead.
Hi, Gerardo, Andrea. Thanks for the call. I have several questions, but I'll limit myself first and circle back in. My first question, I guess, is on guidance. You mentioned you expect a slight expansion on the gross margin front, but I guess if you could just expand a little bit more on why at the EBIT and EBITDA level you expect a stable margin, sort of what explains that difference there. That's my first question. And my second one will be on tuna specifically. I was wondering maybe if you can confirm if this business makes money today or if it doesn't, or if you can sort of give us as much color as you can as to the potential sales process. Thank you.
Hi, Alvaro. Good morning. The answer to your first question is that we are increasing our advertising budget high, about 20, more than 25%. That will increase our operating expenses, and that would compensate the gross margin improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And in your second question, we are not able to elaborate a little bit more on this. We just informed that we are in this process, and we will inform you as we get closer to the deal.
Great. I'll stop here and I'll circle back after everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Please go ahead, Mr. Garcia. There are no other questioners at this time.
All right, great. On Cielito specifically, sort of my question is on how quickly you plan to grow the brand on the retail front and what the focus is over the short. Is the focus really to try to take advantage of the opportunity in supermarkets with the coffee brand itself, or do you have a specific store opening plan, or will you try to just, you know, get used to the asset first and then have a store opening plan? I was wondering if you could sort of go over that strategy.
All right.
So we can have a clear idea. In the context of having a clear idea of, you know, how much capital you're going to throw into that project over the next couple of years.
Well, first, we're going to start integration this Sunday. So first, we need to integrate it with our own POS. And after the integration, I believe we're going to take all this year to understand the brand, to make some synergies, to make some improvement. But we don't expect this year to be heavily in store openings. Probably we mm-hmm. will rationalize some stores openings, and then we will set up our strategy for growth in the following year. Obviously, there's an opportunity for the brand to cross channels, as we have done with Nutrisa, and we do have some plans for crossing channels. And we have this year, we have a campaign on the 10-year birthday of the brand. So we're going to be very active in terms of communication with the market. So don't expect big CapEx investment this year, but we will do a little bit of investment.
Great. Okay. That's clear. And then on specifically on the quarter, we saw a 59 million peso gain in other income. I was wondering if you could expand on what that was. And then one last one, which would be, you know, the sales weakness we saw in the quarter, just trying to get a better idea. What one thing that came to mind for me was maybe just, you know, maybe you're exposed more to the center of the country and the metropolitan areas, which a lot of retailers have sort of commented that's where they've seen most of the weakness. Maybe that is a potential driver, but it's sort of explaining the weakness in sales in your preserves division relative to sort of the total sales growth from other retailers.
In the quarter, the channel that we saw more challenging was modern trade. So traditional or wholesalers outperform modern trade. Particularly, two clients had declining sales, and and one client outstanding. But that's where we saw the weakness in the quarter. Okay. Not mm-hmm. about region, only channel. And clubs was outperformer throughout the year because of our initiatives in vegetables and pasta. And you ask another question. Oh, the other income. We record other income, all the marketing investments that we recover from the
brands that we distribute. So in our small business of distribution, they contribute to marketing investments and they're recorded in other income. So that would explain that income, the majority of that.
Okay.
So it happens on a regular basis, Alvaro.
And
if you go back to other quarters, aside from the third quarter where we also had the sale of the vessel, we registered this line.
And there's another income that comes from Nutrisa because we swap some stores with our franchisors. So we recorded an income profit on a sale of our store, and we purchased one of them. So that created other income, but not on cash flow because the amount was the same. So it was an accounting income, and that is not recurring. It's very difficult to have that amount with a few stores.
If there's no other questions, I have one. I guess I'll ask one more, which is, I didn't catch your CapEx guidance for the year. So maybe
I didn't say it.
It's 900 million.
Yeah, 900 million for this year, and that's our budget. But recall that last year our hitting rate was 50%. Okay, so what we do is that we budget, and depending on the project, every project gets authorized regarding the prioritization. So there's a big chance that our hitting rate would be lower than that.
Okay. And I'm assuming you'll remain active on the buyback front as well.
Definitely.
Great. Okay. Well, I think that's it for me.
Okay. Have a good day, Yap.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Emiliano Hernandez with GVM. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the space for questions. I was wondering, I know you don't give guidance on mix and volumes, but directionally, if you could give us what would you say is going to drive sales growth in the year, that would be helpful. Thank you.
The majority of our increase will come from pricing, about 2/3 from pricing and the rest from volume. Last year, we discontinued some canned foods that are affecting our volume in terms of the overall. But in our major categories, we are expecting very low growth in volume. Low single digits. Okay, but 2/3 would come from price in preserves.
Thank you, that's very clear. Perfect, thank you.
Bye.
Our next question comes from Juan Guzman with Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Gerardo and Andrea. Thanks for the space for questions. Just a quick one here. I don't know if you could you please give us a bit more color on the tax resolution you announced yesterday, and what are your expectations regarding it?
Okay. Good morning, Juan. What we said is not a tax resolution. What we said is that we have not recovered our value-added taxes, and that we are in a legal dispute with the authorities in order to recover that. The amount is about $280 million, and we just made the note to inform the market about the situation with it. I cannot comment about our expectations going forward because it's in the legal courtroom right now.
Okay. Thank you very much.
This concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Gerardo Canavati for any closing remarks.
Thank you for your participation on the call today. We look forward to speaking with you again next quarter, and please do not hesitate to contact us in the interim. Good morning.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.